We all know that initial rush, right? When a brilliant business idea sparks.
Oh, yeah. It feels electric, totally full of promise.
But then comes the reality check. Actually turning that spark into a business that, you know, lasts.
That's a whole different ballgame.
It really is. And it makes you wonder, what truly separates those solo ventures that survive those tough early years from the ones that, well, don't?
And that's exactly what we're digging into today. We're doing a deep dive into this fascinating study called Many Roads Lead to Rome, How Human, Social, and Financial Capital Are Related to New Venture Survival.
Right.
It really offers a fresh look at what it takes for a solo founder's business to have staying power. And maybe surprisingly, it looks beyond just, you know, having deep pockets.
Absolutely. You mentioned you were curious about what really drives that long-term success. And this study seems to have some, well, pretty insightful answers, maybe even counterintuitive ones.
Yeah, I think so.
So our goal here is to unpack this research for you. We want to pull out the most crucial takeaways, make them really clear and actionable, whether you're just thinking about going solo or you're already deep in it.
We'll be looking at the different ways skills, connections, and finances can combine, you know, to pave that road to success.
And maybe challenge a few common beliefs while we're at it.
Definitely. And just so you know where this comes from, our analysis is based on data from two pretty major longitudinal studies.
Longitudinal meaning they track people over time.
Exactly. There's the Panel Study of Entrepreneurial Dynamics 2, that's PSED2 in the US, and the Comprehensive Australian Study of Entrepreneurial Emergence, or COSE, in Australia.
Okay.
They followed these new entrepreneurs for several years, which gives us this incredibly rich picture of what actually influences whether a new venture makes it or not.
Got it. So solid data behind this. Let's get into the core ideas then. The study talks about the subjectivist theory of entrepreneurship, STE. What's the main idea there?
Basically, STE says that entrepreneurs act based on their own unique view of things, their knowledge, their resources, what they think the costs are, their expectations.
That's very personal.
Very subjective, exactly. It's about seeing an opportunity and thinking, yeah, based on my situation, this looks like a good fit for me.
That makes sense. It's that first-person opportunity idea, the founder's personal conviction.
Precisely. And then deciding to actually go for it is also subjective. It really depends on what resources you have right at the start.
Okay.
And crucially, whether those resources are actually useful or functional for that specific business you want to build.
Right.
This ties into Penrose's idea. It's not just about having stuff. It's about the services that stuff, those resources, can provide in that particular context. That's what gives them value.
So having a PhD in something unrelated might not be as valuable as, say, practical experience in the industry you're entering.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A warehouse full of tools is useless if you don't know how to use them for this specific job.
Right.
And this leads to a really key concept in the research, the perception-pursuit gap.
Perception-pursuit gap. Okay, what's that?
It basically means the resources you need to spot an opportunity might be totally different from the resources you need to actually build on it and make it survive long-term.
Ah, okay. So seeing the potential isn't the same as having what it takes to realize it.
You got it. That's a critical distinction they make. What helps you identify the chance might not be what helps you exploit it and keep the doors open.
That's a huge point. So what kind of resources are we talking about? The study breaks it down into human, social, and financial capital, right?
Yep. Those are the big three they focus on.
Let's start with human capital. What falls under that umbrella?
So human capital is essentially the skills and knowledge you've picked up through education, training, work experience, all that stuff.
Okay.
The study breaks it down further. There's general human capital, like your overall education level.
Like having a degree.
Right. And then there's specific human capital, which is more task related. Think management experience, industry know-how. Maybe you've started a business before, that entrepreneurial experience.
Makes sense.
And interestingly, they also look at whether your parents were entrepreneurs. That sort of background counts too.
Oh, interesting. Like learning by osmosis growing up. Now, I remember reading that past research on human capital and business success has been a bit mixed.
Yeah, that's true. Findings have kind of been all over the place. Some studies find a link, others don't see much.
So what did this study find?
Well, they argue that looking at these skills in isolation, like just education or just industry experience, doesn't really tell the whole story.
Ah, okay.
It's the configuration, the specific combination of these things that really matters. They talk about subjective human capital.
Subjective human capital.
Meaning, how relevant is your experience to this specific venture? For instance, really deep industry knowledge might be vital right at the start. But maybe more general skills like problem solving you learned in college might give you flexibility down the road. So it's about having the right mix for the challenge.
The right toolkit for the specific job, not just any tools.
Okay.
What about social capital then? That's your network, your connections.
Exactly. Social capital is about the resources you can tap into because of your relationships, your social network.
Okay.
And you build this by, well, investing in those relationships. The study actually distinguishes between investing in social capital.
Like actively networking, joining groups, building connections before you need them.
Precisely. Going to events, making introductions, nurturing those ties. And then there's exploiting or mobilizing social capital.
Which is actually using those connections.
Yeah, calling on your network for advice, maybe finding early customers, getting introductions, accessing resources you don't have yourself.
That sounds incredibly valuable.
It definitely can be. It helps you do things that might be tough on your own. But here's a key finding. The study found limited evidence that social capital can fully substitute for big gaps in, say, your skills or your funding.
Really? So knowing the right people isn't always enough.
It seems not entirely. Its value really depends on what other resources you're bringing to the table. It goes back to that configuration idea. A great network won't magically teach you how to manage finances if you have no clue.
Right, okay. Connections help, but they don't replace core confidence or necessary funds. Which brings us neatly to financial capital.
Yep, the money.
We always hear how crucial funding is. You need cash to start, cash to survive. What did this study find about that?
Well, financial capital is defined as that, you know, generic resource cash that you can convert into other things you need.
Right, pay salaries, buy equipment, whatever.
Exactly, and it can act as a buffer, right? It buys you time to figure things out, ride out early storms.
Makes sense. And previous research usually shows a strong link between having money and survival, doesn't it?
Often, yes. More money, better survival odds. That's the common wisdom.
But I sense a but coming.
Well, this study found the direct effect of just financial capital in isolation was less clear than you might expect.
Interesting.
They saw that firms that survived actually had a really wide range of starting financial capital. Some had a lot, some didn't.
Okay.
And they also noted that your human capital, your skills and experience, can actually influence your ability to get financial capital in the first place.
Ah, so it's all connected.
Very much so. The study basically suggests that just having a pile of cash at the beginning isn't necessarily the golden ticket to survival people often think it is.
That really flies in the face of common startup narratives. Okay, so if individual resources aren't the whole story, this configurational analysis becomes really key.
Exactly. That's the core of their approach.
They looked at combinations of human, social, and financial capital to see which specific mixes led to survival.
Precisely. Instead of asking, does money help? They asked, what combination of money, skills, and connections helps? And this really supports that many roads lead to Rome title.
Because they found multiple successful paths.
Yes, multiple pathways. Not an infinite number, but definitely several distinct, sufficient resource bundles that allowed these solo founders to keep going.
Okay, let's break those down. They found five specific survival paths, right? What was the first one? Configuration A.
Configuration A really emphasized having strong managerial experience. That was key. Plus, actively investing in building social capital. Remember, that's proactive networking. And interestingly, this configuration also had access to financial capital.
Okay, so management skills, network building, and money.
Yes. But here's the kicker. This was the only survival path they identified that actually included significant financial means.
Wow, only one out of five. So even when you have the money, you still absolutely need the management skills and the network.
That's what it suggests. Money alone wasn't enough even here.
Fascinating. Okay, what about configuration B?
Configuration B, again, highlighted high managerial experience. Super important. But this time, it was paired with deep industry-specific experience.
Knowing your market inside out.
Exactly. Plus the founders' own prior startup experience and actively mobilizing their existing network using those connections.
And this one worked without significant financial capital.
Correct. This combination seemed to effectively compensate for a lack of major funding at the start. Deep experience and using your network seemed to be enough.
That's really encouraging for founders who are maybe bootstrapping or have less access to capital but bring a lot of experience. What's Configuration C?
Configuration C also revolved around high managerial and high industry experience. But here, the key difference was the founder having parents with prior startup experience.
Ah, that family background factor again.
Yep, and this path worked even if the founder didn't have their own previous startup experience or much financial capital.
So learning from entrepreneurial parents seems to provide a real advantage, almost substituting for personal startup experience in this combo.
It looks that way. That tacit knowledge, maybe the mindset, seems valuable.
Incredible how these pieces fit together differently. What about Configuration D?
Configuration D featured a higher level of formal education.
Okay, the general human capital piece.
Right. Combined with effectively mobilizing social capital using your network, maybe to fill gaps, since this path lacked direct startup experience for the founder.
Right.
And again, solid managerial and industry experience were present.
And this one also worked without parental startup background or lots of money.
That's right. So a good education plus leveraging your network plus those core management and industry skills could compensate for not having done it before yourself or having family in the game and without needing big initial funds.
Okay, one more survival path. Configuration E.
Configuration E also included higher education and parental startup experience and the founder's own prior startup experience.
Oh, lots of different experience types there.
Yes, plus strong managerial experience. But interestingly, this path was characterized by a lack of deep industry-specific experience and also lacked significant financial capital.
Huh. So education, family learning, personal experience, and management skills could overcome not knowing the industry deeply and not having much cash.
It seems so. A really interesting combination. Maybe the breadth of other experiences allowed them to learn the industry specifics quickly or navigate challenges differently.
Wow. These five paths really drive home the point. There's no single recipe. Different strengths can compensate for different weaknesses. And money, well, it's only explicitly present in one path.
Exactly. It challenges that money is everything idea right at the start.
Now, the study didn't just look at survival. It also looked at configurations linked to failure. And you mentioned something important. These aren't just the flip side of the success paths.
Correct. That's a critical point. The combinations leading to failure were distinct, not just the mirror image or opposite of the survival ones. It highlights an asymmetry.
Asymmetry. Meaning what leads to success isn't just the absence of what leads to failure and vice versa.
Precisely. There are different dynamics at play.
Okay. Tell us about these failure configurations. What do they look like?
They identified three main paths to failure. The first one, let's call it failure configuration A, involved founders with high education.
Okay, seemingly a good start.
Right, but they lacked both managerial and industry experience. They also didn't invest in building their network, nor did they mobilize any existing connections.
So, educated, but lacking practical skills and connections. What about money?
Here's the kicker again. This configuration did have financial capital.
Wow. So money plus education wasn't enough to overcome the lack of management, industry knowledge, and network.
Apparently not. It strongly suggests money can't buy you out of fundamental gaps in business acumen and connections. Maybe the money even gets wasted without that experience.
That's a stark warning. What are the other failure paths?
Failure configuration B had founders with parental startup experience and some industry experience, plus financial capital.
Sounds like some potentially useful pieces there.
Yes, but they were lacking in formal education, managerial experience, their own startup experience, and they weren't investing in or mobilizing social capital.
So some experience, some money, but missing education, management skills, personal experience, and network use.
Right. And failure configuration C had high education, parental startup experience, and the founder's own startup experience, plus financial capital.
That sounds like a strong profile on paper.
It does, but the missing pieces were crucial. They lacked managerial experience, industry experience, and again, weren't leveraging social capital in any significant way.
It's striking how lack of managerial experience keeps popping up in these failure configurations.
Absolutely.
Often paired with lack of industry experience, even when there's money, education, or other types of experience present.
That's a major takeaway, I think. It really underscores how fundamental that ability to actually manage the business and understand your specific market seems to be for survival. Financial resources just couldn't compensate for lacking those in these failure paths.
Okay, so bringing all this together, the study proposed some key ideas, some propositions based on these findings. Can you summarize those for us?
Sure. First off, No single type of capital, human, social, or financial, is enough all by itself to guarantee survival for a solo founder. You can't rely on just one.
Right. It's about the mix.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Second, survival depends on having one of those specific combinations of resources we talked about. Not just any mix works. And importantly, failure isn't just the reverse of success.
The asymmetry point again.
Yes. Third, remember that perception pursuit gap. The resources you need to spot the opportunity might be different from what you need to actually make it work long term.
Okay.
Fourth, having more of the right kinds of human and social capital skills, experience, connections might help you find better, maybe less competitive opportunities. And it can help shrink that perception pursuit gap, boosting your survival chances.
Makes sense. Better equipped, better choices.
Fifth, and this is a big one. Financial capital alone seems to be the least useful resource right at the very beginning, in those nascent stages.
Least useful.
Wow. Relatively speaking, yes, compared to the right skills and connections in those early days. And finally, you generally need a good blend of different types of human capital, like both specific industry knowledge and broader management skills, to build that solid foundation.
These are really powerful takeaways. They definitely challenge some common start advice. So let's make this really practical. What does this mean for you, the listener, if you're thinking about starting a business or you're in those early stages now?
Well, I think the biggest implication is don't just jump because you see a great opportunity. Pause and take a really honest look at yourself. What's your current resource bundle? Your skills, your experience, your network, your finances. Is it a realistic match for actually pursuing this opportunity and sustaining it?
So opportunity assessment meets self-assessment.
Exactly. And don't put all your focus or maybe anxiety on just the money part initially. Yes, funding matters eventually, but this study suggests focusing first on building the right skills, getting relevant experience, especially managerial and industry specific, and actively, intentionally building your network.
Be strategic about skill and network development.
Definitely. Look at those five survival configurations we outlined. Does one of them kind of resemble your current situation? Where are your strengths? Where are the gaps?
And then work on filling those gaps.
Right. Especially if you see gaps in managerial experience or industry knowledge. Think about training, finding a mentor, maybe even bringing in a partner if that makes sense for you, although this study focused on solo founders. Mm. But address those gaps proactively.
And remembering that perception pursuit gap, maybe seeking advice or training can help bridge that too.
Absolutely. Things like mentorship programs or incubator courses could be really valuable in helping you align the resources needed for pursuit with the opportunity you perceived.
This has been incredibly insightful. So, recapping the big message. For solo founders, survival isn't just about having the most money or even the most skills overall.
No, it's about having the right combination of relevant skills, particularly managerial know-how, and a network you actively build and use. And maybe, counterintuitively, a huge pile of cash up front isn't the be-all and end-all we often assume.
It really highlights management skills and social capital investment as crucial navigators for those tricky early years.
It really does, and it prompts a question for you, the listener, doesn't it? Think about your own mix of resources.
Yeah. Which of those survival paths feels closest to you? Or where you want to be.
And what concrete steps could you take starting now to strengthen those areas this research points to as being so critical, like management abilities, like your network?
It also brings us back to that subjectivist idea. Entrepreneurship is so personal. Your insights, your resources, how they fit the opportunities you see.
Exactly. This research gives us a fantastic framework, a map of sorts, but your actual journey, your path, will be unique.
So really reflect on your human, social, and maybe financial capital. What services, as Penrose put it, can your specific resources actually provide for the venture you're dreaming of or building?
Yeah, that's the key question.
So the final thought. While many roads might lead to Rome.
Understanding the terrain, knowing what kind of roads there are, and making sure you have the right vehicle, the right resource combination for the specific road you choose, well, that dramatically increases your chances of actually getting there and thriving.
A great way to put it. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us today.